Hi everyone, welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. This is Erica and I am the creator of both the podcast and the blog. I'm so excited. I know I say that every single freaking week, but this week I interview one of my all-time favorite bloggers. She's actually been vlogging for 5+ years and similar to me, she started blogging before she had kids, and then her blog just kind of evolved, and she incorporates all her, you know, mom tactics and how she keeps up with the kids and how she integrates a healthy lifestyle in raising them. She's also a yoga teacher. And in this episode, we get really, really deep. So Lori Reagan actually lives just outside of Philadelphia, about a half hour from me. So I took her hot yoga class and then we recorded right afterwards. And it was honestly like we were sitting there drinking a cup of coffee for the 100th time. She's such a sweet person. And she is really very honest about her previous eating disorder, how that actually kind of affected her pregnancies and how she was able to overcome it, her life as a yoga teacher, how she raises her little babes to be so healthy, and just how she's really evolved as a blogger. And what I wanted to say before, but I kind of got sidetracked, was that she also collaborated with Lauren Everett of Skin Confidential back in the day, when they were both just newbie bloggers. So I thought that was a really fun fact. So with that being said, this episode is jam-packed with great information. I really feel like me and Lori could have kept talking for like another 2 hours. So I'm definitely going to have her back on the episode. And before we jump in, I want to give a huge shout out to Blooming Lotus Jewelry. Blooming Lotus Jewelry is the sponsor of this week's episode. They sell everything from mantra coin necklaces to mollusk necklaces to bracelets. It's a lot of high vibe jewelry and it's intention based, so you can get the jewelry customized based upon, you know, if you're looking for love, if you're looking for abundance, and all different varieties. So I definitely recommend that you go check them out. You can head over to www.bloominglotusjewelry.com, and if you use the code BYOK, you'll save a discount. And as always, guys, thank you for supporting the BYOK podcast sponsors. I really appreciate it. It helps, you know, really pay for the upkeepings of a podcast and a blog. And I only work with brands that I truly believe in. And Blooming Lotus is definitely one of those companies. So check them out. Enjoy this week's episode. And keep on enjoying Beauty Week. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. I'm a little bit hot and sweaty after that yoga class.
I'm so happy that you got to take class. You did great.
Thank you.
I loved it. And I love that you're so close. I didn't realize how close you were.
I know, only a half hour.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Like nothing.
That's awesome. Yeah, Monday night's a good night. It's a lot of fun.
So why don't you give everybody a brief background about yourself before we jump right in?
Okay, so where do I start? I am a yoga instructor. I am a mom of two. I have a boy and a girl. They are Jackson, it's almost 4, and Ella is 7. I have been in the wellness, fitness industry since 2001. I had my own personal training business for 14 years. And I became a yoga instructor 6 years ago. I'm a certified sports nutritionist. I used to specialize in sports teams. I trained the junior flyers and PW ice hockey. I did all their off-ice training. And now I'm pretty much yoga. I'm a mom. And I have been blogging since 2008. Yeah, I have a lot going on. But
which is incredibly long to be blogging. You were like right there at the beginning.
I was the dinosaur age of blogging. Yes. So.
And fun fact, you collaborated with Lauren Everts like back in the day.
Yeah, when she first started blogging and asked to do a collab. I think we did two collaborations, but I have a goji berry when she was a bartender in her very early days. She talks about that all the time now. But she gave me a goji berry margarita recipe. And she put like a baked apple oatmeal recipe of mine on her site. But she was awesome. And I was like, you're like amazing. I knew she was going to go places. I could tell. But yeah, that's really fun. And it was fun to kind of watch her grow. I kind of stepped back from blogging after I became a mom for a little while. I just jumped back into it about a year ago. I missed it. So, yeah.
So how did you get started in the wellness industry?
So when I was a 13, 14, I developed an eating disorder. And the day before my 16th birthday, I was admitted to the Renfrew Center of Philadelphia. And I was an inpatient there, outpatient, on and off. And that could be a whole other podcast episode. But part of when I was recovering, it was, you know, I saw a lot of nutritionists and I was spending a lot of time in therapy. And it was really like learning how to take care of myself. And I started learning more about healthy eating. I didn't know anything about healthy eating when it was more of an obsessive thing, and I was bulimic and nothing healthy about it. But then I started to get really into healthy eating and reading a lot of nutrition books. And I think part of that was still me holding on to my eating disorder, to be honest with you, if I'm calling myself out, like looking back at it. But the other part was really learning to nourish my body and kind of, you know, get into it. But I got really into wellness, and I started working out, and I suffered from depression and a lot of things. And when I started exercising, that really helped me in a lot of ways. And I wanted to go to school to be a registered dietitian. And I kind of took a different direction. I started my personal training business in 2001. And I found that it was very therapeutic for me to help other people. I think in a lot of ways, it probably wasn't a really good thing for me for being an eating disorder recovery. But in other ways, it helped me heal. So if that makes sense. I mean, I feel like it's like you know, in a lot of ways, me helping other people feel good about themselves helped me, you know, in that way.
Perhaps so, watching them heal.
Yeah.
You know, helped you take those steps towards healing.
Yeah, and I started to look at food a little bit differently than being, like, obsessive about it and looking at it as an enemy, as being, like, something where, you know, you need to eat to live and learning to just really, like, take care of myself. So that's how I got into it, and you know, there's a long journey through there, but that's basically the short story of it all.
And where did you get your degree for sports nutrition?
So I certified through ACE for sports nutrition. Yeah. Well, actually, for sports nutrition, that was I was certified under a registered dietitian, had a program. I don't know if it's available anymore. It was sports and fitness. I can't remember the name of it, but it was 15 years ago when I did it. The first certification I did, but he was a registered dietitian, so I studied under him, and he was very like available, and so I worked with him one-on-one, and then after that I did some stuff through ACE. So ACE is where I got my certified personal training.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So how did you make that transition from being a sports nutritionist and working with all these, you know, sports teams, mm-hmm. to jumping into yoga?
Mm-hmm.
Because while they kind of seem like they're related, they are different, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, they're very different. So so I did that when I was younger. And when I got married, I started to really just focus more on my personal training business. I had a few trainers working for me, and we specialized in in-home training. So I did the sports teams, and I loved it. But that started to kind of, I started to taper back on that and then focus more on doing in-home. And I worked with a lot of people that were, you know, bit like more like over 50.
Okay.
And and that was great. And then when I got pregnant, I started to taper back on that. When I had my daughter, I said taper back a little bit more. And then I just felt really burnt out by it all. I just felt burnt out, like from driving place to place, going, doing in-home training. I started to lose my passion for it, and I was like, I need to take a step back, because if I'm not loving this the way that I was loving it a few years ago, I need to reevaluate what I'm doing. And then after 3 months after Ella was born, I had done yoga on and off, but I stepped into my first heated power yoga class, and it just changed my life. It was like the hardest thing I ever did, but it was also like the best thing I ever did. I left, I was like, what the hell just happened? But I felt amazing, and I was like, I can't wait to do it again. And it was just so many other emotions that go around with this, because I've done yoga at other studios where I was working out a lot. I was working out like 3 hours in the gym a day and lifting weights, and I couldn't even hold a down dog. And that like turned me off from doing yoga again for years. And then I did it at home a little bit, and I never thought that I would become a yogi, because I just didn't like it. And
yeah.
When my daughter was born, I had this like new, like, whole sense of everything. Like, my body was so different and my mentality was so different, and I was just kind of like, if I could give birth, like, I can do anything, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I went and I took this class and I fell in love, and I started practicing, and I found myself wanting to be on my mat more than being in the gym. I started like finding myself like really over the gym environment, and really loving the whole yogi mentality, like the mentality and the philosophy and everything. And so that's where I'm at.
That's so funny that you said that, because we were talking about how, you know, it's a totally different type of practice
mm-hmm.
than working out at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of used to be the same way. I used to love working out at the gym. And then I went to my first yoga class, or my first hot yoga class. And the whole time I'm like, I hate this. This fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so hot. I'm so miserable. But then afterwards you're like, I feel like a million bucks. Yeah. That was great. Like,
yes.
I'll do that again. And
right.
I feel like I got a facial. Like,
right. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And it was Ange, who owns Soul, whose class I took. And she just had a way of, like, making me just not feel self, like, just, I don't know, just the whole vibe of, like, the whole studio just made me, I always felt really self-conscious going into yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like people are looking at you, and you feel like, I can't do that, and everybody's
they're
standing.
So much more advanced.
Yeah, they're all, like, I went to a beginner class, like, years before that in another place, and I felt like everybody was standing on their head, and I was like, I'm over here, I can't even hold down dog. And that's all ego, like, really nobody is
yeah.
looking at you, but, like, I was just in a different place than I was, and I sat up in the corner and did my thing, and then I just kept going back, and it just felt so good, and it was like, it just wasn't about like the destination, it was just more about like the whole process and where you're at and just being with your breath and being present, and it just, I loved it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I really truly believe that like the studio makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't feel like you fit in at your studio, or you just don't feel comfortable, like, it's not going to work for you.
Right.
And I really love that this studio in particular doesn't have any mirrors.
Yeah.
I find that the studios that don't have the mirrors are the ones that I personally even feel more comfortable at.
I find the mirrors very distracting.
Yes. And especially because I used to go to this one studio, and it was more so Bikram yoga,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really do that much of anymore. But you're very self-conscious when
mm-hmm.
you're, like, looking in the mirror, and you're, like, toppling over, and somebody else next to you is, like, perfectly
mm-hmm.
still, and you're like, no. So,
yeah, it could be really distracting, and if you have, like, your own things going on with being self-conscious, it's probably removing those things that are going to make you feel extra self-conscious, you know, like,
totally.
There's a studio I really like around here, and they have a mirror, but there's one spot in the room where there's not a mirror, and I always get there early to set up, like, where I'm not at the mirror. Like, if I ever go there, it's like I can't be in front of a mirror. I can't. Just, you start, like, doing that. You start
yeah.
critiquing yourself, and I don't want any parts of that in my practice. And there's some people that may be able to practice in front of a mirror and totally let those things go, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just so individual. But for me, like, I know myself, and I know that I'll start, like, getting in my head.
And then judging yourself
kind right.
of just, like, defeats the whole purpose
mm-hmm.
of practicing yoga that day.
Right.
Like, let
exactly.
it go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing practice, and I love it. And there's so many different forms of yoga and so many different studios. So just finding your home. And I think it took me a long time to find my home. My first yoga class I ever went to was on 9/11 after the Twin Towers got crashed into in college. And I walked in, and it was like a hatha yoga class. We weren't, you know, doing poses or anything. Like, we came in, and she had the radio on. And then we started like doing journaling and stuff, and it was just a really bizarre experience for me. And then we were doing like breathing exercises. I never had done yoga in my life. I was 19 years old, and I was like, what is happening? And it was like emotional. And I like, so I, you know, that was like my first experience with a yoga class. It was like really, and then years later, that vinyasa class that I couldn't hold down dog, and then it took me years, you know, later. So it was like a long time. So don't give up on it. If you feel like you don't like yoga, you know, maybe give it another chance, try a different style. Power might not be your thing. Vinyasa might not be your thing. Bikram might not be your thing. You know,
right.
Just try, like, and go back and give it a chance, because it's, you know, it's just an amazing practice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's funny, because that's not the first time that I heard that. Like, mm-hmm. especially after 9/11 in New York City, like, yoga studios started popping up like crazy, mm-hmm. which it all makes sense when you think about mm-hmm. it, but... that's interesting that you said that. That was your first class.
It's very interesting. That was the first, class I ever walked into. And I'm sure if I was in the mentality I am today, then as like a 19-year-old that never practiced before, I probably would have embraced, the breathing and the journaling and all that stuff. But like that, then I was like, this is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know these people. Like, I don't know what's happening. I just want to go home and see my mom. Like, that's all I wanted to do. Like, you couldn't get through, like... Cell phones were newish back then, too.
Everybody had them.
No.
Yeah, no, I remember.
And I couldn't get through to my mom, like, on my phone. It was just, like, all circuits were busy. It was, like, you know, the first, like, Sprint phone. It was, like, this bright orange thing. It was, like, not even, like a flip phone or something. I don't know. It was crazy. And, so.
I think you're right. I don't even think they had flip phones at that point.
Yeah.
It was still just, like... The large phone.
Yeah.
And the like car phones, you know.
It was 2001. It was crazy. So, so that was that. I feel like we got really off track there.
So, transitioning. Mm-hmm. So, before we jump into, you know, pregnancy mm-hmm. and being a healthy mama and things mm-hmm. like that, do your kids practice yoga?
Yeah, they do. They have a kids class here at Seoul on Sundays in like the fall and winter, and they do 10:30 for the kids in one room, and we have another room down the hall, and then they have an adult room down the hall, so you can come, you can
love
practice,
yeah.
You drop your kids, and like they both start and end at the same time.
That's
and
perfect.
They love it, yeah.
I saw Jack was like meditating.
Yeah.
I love it.
Last long, but he just, when I put my yoga, I felt so tight in my hips the other day, and I just put my yoga mat on. I was trying to do stretches. They're both like under me and doing everything. I'm doing like, okay, let's like try to breathe a couple of minutes. So he was sitting there with his legs crossed. So they're just the loves of my life. They're so cute.
Start
they're just
young.
Little sponges. Yeah. You lead by example. They want to copy everything you're doing. So
right.
Like, they're watching everything. They really are.
So how did you jump into the wellness world when you were pregnant? Like, were you super crunchy, or is that like kind of how you grew up, or were you, or were you like the rest of us, you know, having birthday parties at McDonald's?
I grew up with my birthday parties at McDonald's. Absolutely. I think there's a picture of me and my cousin at like Burger King or McDonald's. Down the street.
I feel like I had like 5 birthday parties at McDonald's.
Yeah. And I, not to get off tracking it, but I had a personal training client when I was pregnant with Ellen. I'm walking with her and we're talking about like how, you know, how I was going to raise her and things, like just healthy eating with kids and stuff. And she's like, so you're going to tell me when... Because she's invited to a birthday party at McDonald's that you're not going to take her. I don't even remember what the conversation was, but like something with birthday party at McDonald's came up. And I was like, people have birthday parties at McDonald's. Some people do. But I was like, you know, actually Ella went to a birthday party at Burger King this year. It was fine. Like, she's never had it before. It was totally fine. Like, you know, kids are.
It's all about balance.
It really is. And it's like balance and no judgment. Everybody is different. But it was funny because I think I was like pregnant and I was like on my little like high horse.
You know,
like, I'm totally not like that anymore. But when I was pregnant, I was like, my kids are not going to have this. They're not going to have that. And she was, like, kind of calling me out. She's like, come on, your kid gets invited to a birthday party at McDonald's. And I was like, I don't think people do that anymore. But, I mean, some people do, but for the most part.
I remember when I was babysitting, like, back in day in college, I was babysitting, like, a 5- and 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother said to them, oh, well, if you guys are good, you guys can have a donut. They're both like, what are donuts?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, wait, is this real life right now? Like, the kids don't know what donuts are?
Oh, my God.
But now, like, going to be a parent, I'm like,
All right. I mean, good for that mom. I mean, if she could hold out donuts for that long, I don't know. But
oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, so funny.
Well, it's funny because, well, the birthday party at Burger King, they were supposed to have, like, this outdoor thing, and it was pouring rain that day, and I think that was the only place they can have it, like, last minute. And it was, they had, like, a big play area, and the kids were playing the whole time.
Yeah.
It was whatever. Ella, like, didn't even like it. She was like, I don't even think this is good.
Yeah.
So.
You're like, good girl.
Yeah. I was like, whatever, you know, whatever. They're kids.
You can have carrot sticks for me and go home.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But, so, anyway, to answer your question, so I was already, you know, personal trainer. I had my business. I was real into fitness. I was blogging. And I was actually, like, a vegetarian transitioning into vegan. I was pregnant with my daughter, which I'm not anymore. But I was really into, like, a plant-based diet then. And I was, like, when I read some of my old blog posts, I roll my eyes at myself, to be honest with you. But,
was it for an ethical reason or just,
it was,
like, nutrition?
It was nutrition and ethical. And so I was, like, trying to do more plant-based with her, and I was like, you know, my kids are never gonna have ice cream, and they're never gonna have dairy, and like I was really like learning a lot about the dairy industry, and I was really grossed out by it. So I had all these things that I said I was never gonna do, and so my big thing is never say never, because you never know what's gonna happen.
And then don't put it in writing.
Yeah. So yeah. So I. So, you know, I had, with my pregnancies were completely different. With my daughter, I was eating more plant-based. I was going to the gym, but I wasn't really doing, like, I was walking, I was doing the elliptical, I was lifting a little bit of weights. I really toned back on my workouts. And with my son, I was practicing hot power yoga, upside down, doing handstands 5 days a week. I was doing bar. I was doing this thing called pit, which is like a... So they would kill me if they heard me say this, but it's like almost like a CrossFit. They don't like to be referred to like CrossFit. It's like flipping tires and all that. So I was doing all that like with Jet. Like they just completely eating meat, like two completely different pregnancies. So, you know, and I was like, just like how you are, like when I read your stuff, it reminds me of like, you know, researching everything and trying to learn what the healthiest options are for like, you know, skincare and like supplements and all of that stuff. So I was really into it. And I had this whole community through the blog. So all these people that were moms that were like giving me tips and giving me advice. And it was really nice. And so it was, I was, what was your question? How did I get into wellness or?
No, that totally makes sense. Yeah. So between the two pregnancies, did you have a midwife? Did you use a doula? Did you just have, like, a regular OBGYN? Like, what was that kind of situation?
So I just had a regular OBGYN, and with my first pregnancy, I was more kind of like, I don't want to read too much. I don't want to get too freaked out by everything. Yeah. I researched, like, try how to be, like, the healthiest, and, like, I did a little research about, like, breastfeeding and stuff, but I wasn't, like, super-duper crunchy or anything. And I took advice from, like, you know, the moms I knew in my life. And I kind of had this mentality that, like, I wasn't going to have any expectations. Like, I'm not going to make this, like, birth plan because I know.
That's kind of where I am.
Yeah, because
right
I was like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let whatever happens, happens. And my daughter was a week late. And I ended up being induced. And I, like, probably could have waited one more day because I went on my 1 week past, you know, my due date appointment, and she did the, it's 9 o'clock on Monday, and I just taught yoga, so my brain's not working, but like where they, strip your membranes, that's what it's called. So okay. Strip my membranes. Yeah, so it's like something that can help you to go into labor when you're past without like inducing you. So she did that, and I did start taking contractions and stuff, but I was so anxious about her delivering me. So she was like, "Well, if you want, you can come in tomorrow at 5 a.m. and you know, and I'm here, I'm on all day." So I was like, "Okay, let's just do that. Like, I don't want to wait any longer." And I probably, looking back, could have waited like another day and went into labor all myself by myself, but. She was amazing, and she's like really close with my mother-in-law. It's like her OBGYN, so it was like, you know, she kind of like let everybody come back, and like like, you know, it was a really great experience. And I did end up getting an epidural because I went in at 5 a.m. and then they broke my water at like 11, and the contractions were so awful because they gave me Pitocin, so it's like an unnatural like Yeah. So it's like really hard. And she was like, oh, we're not going to be ready to push for like another like several hours. And I was like, are you kidding me? Give me the epidural. So, and with Jackson, like his was so fast. I almost delivered him in the driveway. I didn't even deliver at the hospital I was supposed to deliver. I got rush emergency to the hospital down the street, which is a great hospital.
Yeah.
And they like, he almost, like the people at the ambulance were like, we've delivered babies before, you know, like he was like crowning. And they like had a team in the ER ready to deliver him. We went upstairs. They switched my table. My mom and my husband were both there. My mom has bags on her arm. My husband's filming. Like, and they told my mom to grab one of my legs because there was only two other people in the room. Yeah, with Jackson, there was, like, a medical team around me and with Ella, I'm sorry, with my first, there was, like, a medical team around me and, like, students. And with Jackson, it was, like, it was so fast. It was just two completely different experiences.
And you were attributing that before because you were saying that you did a lot of yoga.
Yeah, I think
you felt like that really helped.
I think that helped, but I also think it's a second baby. Like, your body's been there before.
Right,
so
it knows what to do.
Yeah, it knows what to do. And I think, like, doing all the yoga and stuff, like, you know, that helped. I was doing yogi squats, like, every day. And I guess my point is with all this is that with both pregnancies, I felt like I was, like, healthy for both. Like, mm-hmm. the first one, I was, like, more plant-based, and I was doing weightlifting. I was doing a lot of walking. I was doing, like, listening to my body and, like, resting and all that stuff. And I think that was fine for, like, you know, my body's never been there before, so I didn't know what to expect. So, and then with the second, I was listening to my body, and I know that moving every day is what made me feel good. If I missed a class or missed, like, moving, like, I did not feel good. So it just, and I said it was Jackson the whole time. I was like, this kid's going to have so much freaking energy because I know it's him giving this energy, because I had more energy pregnant with him at 40 weeks than I do now. Like I just, wow. If I didn't, like, move, like, it was almost like I had this force inside of me, you know, mm-hmm. that was like, you need to go out and move. And it was like him. Like, I would, like, come take a yoga class here and then go for, like, make my husband go to, like, Valley Green to take, like, a 40-minute walk. Like, I'm like, come on, we got to keep moving. Like, I just had to, and had nothing to do with anything else, but, like, that was what was, like, inside of me, was driving me to, like, I just had energy. I just felt good. And not everybody's like that. I feel like I was kind of a freak. But, you know, it was just so different. And with Ella, I felt like I was getting tired a lot, and I was napping mm-hmm. all the time. And, you know, so it was just different. It was just different. No right or wrong. It was just different.
Right.
And both were healthy, and both deliveries were healthy. And, you know, nothing really went wrong, like, at all. So.
Knock on wood. Yeah. So, kind of getting, like, really specific, do you have, like, three tips for kind of staying healthy while you're pregnant?
Move as much as you can. So if you are having a healthy pregnancy and your doctor wants you to exercise and you're not on bed rest or have anything specific, just generally, just move every day, whether it's you're going for a walk or going to, you know, it doesn't have to be a heated power class, but, like, maybe go into a prenatal yoga class or some, like, a vinyasa class or a slow flow class would be awesome. Or just whatever you'd like to do. Just try to move, because I feel like moving really helped, and it makes labor and delivery so much easier. I feel like, you know, even with Ella, like, I was exercising. I feel like with the epidural and the Pitocin and everything, like, I wasn't in labor for days, which a lot of my friends who had all those things were, like, days at the hospital.
Right.
And she was born at, like, 5:50 p.m., and I think I got the epidural around, like, 12, and so it was, like, not even a whole day.
Wow.
So, I was there for, like, 12 hours. I mean, I got there at 5, but, like, things didn't start to get moving till, like, 11.
And 20 hours of labor.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I know people that were in labor 48 hours, you know, or longer. So I felt like just listening to your body and moving, that would be my number one tip.
I love that tip, and it's funny because, like, I come from, like, this Italian family where, mm-hmm. like, they just want to feed you and sit on the couch and, like, don't do anything and, like, fan you, and, you know, you're the golden child right now because you hold that grandchild.
Right.
And, like, my dad called me on the way here, and I'm like, I got to call you back. I'm, like, going to a yoga class and whatever. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, and I'm like, no, don't you guys understand? Like, this is my motivation. Like, I want labor to be as, like, I want to be so strong mm-hmm. and, like, my body, like, you know, be able to get through these contractions and push easily and, like, it just reaffirmed everything that you're saying.
And both, and I was, it was two separate hospitals, two, I don't even, the janitor delivered Jackson, we always say, I don't even know who delivered him, but like, they, like, both, but they both said, like, wow, you're really strong, like, so Ella, I started pushing at 420, she was born at like 550, I think, so I was pushing for like,
that's so good.
Yeah, I was pushing for like an hour, but Jackson literally came out in three pushes, like, I literally switched tables, and it was like,
that's like the dream.
So I got on the, I got on the table, and right when it got like so hard, well, I kept, the thing that happened was I kept it, I kept like questioning it because my labor with Ella was so hard because it was Pitocin labor that even though it was hard with Jackson, I was like, I don't think this is it. I think it needs to feel worse than this. Like,
yeah.
So I was like, I'm not ready to go to the hospital. I don't want to go yet. I want to labor at home. So it was like, my contractions were like not even 2 minutes apart. And, they, and I was like, and my husband's like, we need to go. I was like, no, I was like, I don't want to go yet. But then with Jackson, like, I got there, and he just, like, I go, epidural. They're like, are you kidding me? Like, you're, he's here. Like, what are you talking about?
We're holding him.
Yeah. No. Like, what are you talking about, epidural? Like, he's here. He's coming out of your body right now. So, yeah, but I think just, you know, moving every day helps for sure. And then another tip I would give you would be magnesium spray was my savior during both pregnancies. I would wake up in the middle of the night with screaming with Charlie horses in my legs. Like, my husband, like, would wake up, but the poor guy, he's like not a good sleeper, and then he would be finally in a deep sleep, and then here I am waking up screaming on the top of my lungs because I have like this pain in my leg. My leg's cramping up, and so I got magnesium spray. I don't even remember how I heard about it because it was, I did it with my first pregnancy. But yeah, I like ancient minerals because I think they're pretty pure. But like, you just spray it on your legs every night, and I never got them. So that was, that was a really good tip. And I tell all of my pregnant friends about it because a lot of people get those leg cramps in the middle of the night, and it helps. And then, what would be another tip I would give? I wrote all these notes. Oh, I love the book, The Doula's Guide to Birth.
Okay.
I did not have a doula or a midwife or anything. This book, with my pregnancy with Jackson, was like my Bible. And I think my mom was like kind of like my doula with my second pregnancy. She held my leg when pushed.
I think that definitely qualifies as some support.
I wanted to get a doula. And I'm, you know, I was kind of obsessed for a while with getting a doula. And my husband was like, I don't think we need a doula. Like, like, you know, he was opposed to it, and my mom's like, I've given birth 4 times naturally, like, I'll be your doula. So I was like, all right, well, you need to do this, this, and this. And I was a little more rigid with like my planning the second time. I just wanted certain things, like, not necessarily a set plan, but I'm like, I kind of want things to go this way. I don't want to get medicine this early, and I don't want to go to the hospital right away. Like, I want to labor at home. So I kind of had those things I wanted. And so my mom did come over, my husband went to get my mom when I went into labor in the middle of the night. And so but everything just happened so much faster. Like, everything flew out the window again because it was like, you know, it just happened so fast. So
So when it comes to pregnancy, we both had a similar but different experience with the glucose test. And I have to thank you because you're the one who told me, you know, when they advise you to go for the glucose test, make sure you don't take the Glucola because it has, you know, it's like petroleum based and it has all these crazy substances in it that you would never put in your body, you know, on a daily basis anyway. So why would you take it to take a test to see how your body would react to it? It just doesn't make sense, at least to us. So you advised me that you were able to actually use food. So can you explain how you went about the Glucola test?
Yes. So, well, with my first pregnancy, I did drink the nasty drink. But like I said, I wasn't doing a ton of research, and I was really into health and wellness, but I was like, I'm just not going to make waves, you know? Like, I'm sure it's going to be disgusting. I don't even want to know what's in it type of thing.
And if you're just going to a regular OBGYN, they probably wouldn't mention it
to you. No, they don't. And so I kind of just went and I took the test. They didn't even tell me, like, they don't tell you to fast or anything, which also doesn't make sense to me. I went and I failed by a point with my first pregnancy. So I had to go back and do the 3-hour with my first pregnancy. And I, like, kind of got wind of reading it, and I got really, like, mad. I'm like, what is this? Like, why are they giving this to people? First of all, like, I had a whole practice, but I had one doctor in the practice that was, like, kind of shaming, like, about, like, people gaining too much weight during pregnancy and all these things. Like, he made somebody close to me, like, feel really bad, who also had, like, an eating disorder history, and it really, like, made me angry. It wasn't the doctor that delivered, but it was one of the doctors in the practice, and, so, but he was really, like, all about healthy eating and exercising and all these things. And then I'm sitting here and I'm reading this. I'm like, this is, like, what is in this? Like, he's all about, like, watching the stuff that you're eating and what you're putting in your body. And then this, you're drinking this drink. So, anyway, I did it. I passed great, like, the second time. But the first one, I didn't because I didn't fast or anything. And
right.
In my head, doesn't really make sense, you know?
And the whole purpose of the test is really to test your blood sugars and see how your body reacts to sugar in your body.
Yeah, so it's how your body reacts to the glucose. So with my second, I was like, I'm not doing that. So when I was blogging, a couple people said, oh, my midwife had me do jelly beans. And somebody else was like, mine had me do orange juice. Like, everybody was telling me all these different options. It was after the fact, but I kind of remembered when I was pregnant with Jackson, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to fight this. Yeah. I'm not doing this. So I talked to more people, and a lot of people that I talked to were doing orange juice or orange juice and a half a banana. So I wrote out this whole thing. I went to my appointment, and this was a new practice. I was going to a different practice at this point, and I loved this doctor. He is great. And what I think is really important is your doctors, they're going to medical school. They know their stuff. So you need to have respect for them. You don't want to go to Dr. Google and be like, okay, I know more than you. But a good doctor is going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. And they're going to help you find different options. And they're going to hear you out. Because maybe it's something they haven't heard of. Or maybe, you know, it's something that they might want to look into more. Maybe it's something that want to recommend to other patients, because there's always new information. There's always things. And I feel like a lot of pharmaceutical companies and food companies have, you know, they're in with, like, the medical field where it's like things get crossed and it's not always so kosher. So I came up with this whole thing. I wrote down what the ingredients are, what my problems were with the ingredients. He left the room. He came back 10 minutes later. He goes, you're totally right about the brominated vegetable. I don't like it. He's like, what I'm going to do, he's like, it's because they're probably going to give me an issue. He's like, I'm going to write you a different test. It's basically the same test, but it's a different test. So you're going to come, you're going to do, you know, your orange juice and half a banana. Or maybe he wanted me to do glucose tablets instead, which was a much better ingredient list. You can get them online. And you're going to come, you're going to sit outside of the lab on the couch, so you're not walking around expending energy. You take it and then tell them that you need to have your blood drawn at this exact time.
Right.
So they looked very confused. He's like, they're going to, like, argue with you if you tell them. He's like, but... So I went, I was like, all right, I need to get my blood drawn at this exact time. I took my thing, and they looked confused, but they did it. And I passed, and it was fine. And I could have probably just sucked it up and drank the cool glucola drink, but I'm kind of like, I want to make a difference. You know, I'm like, I want people to know that they have other options if they don't want to do it. And I have friends that were like, you know, I'm going to do that. And then when push came to shove, they were like, you know, I didn't feel like dealing with it. And that's totally fine. It's like your choice. But the thing is that you have a choice. That's the thing. You have a choice. And it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I wish they would change it.
Yeah.
And it just pisses me off because I feel like it has to do with whoever's manufacturing the glucola.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? I think that that's what it has to do with.
That's the thing. Like, the ingredients in the glucola are not ingredients that are in our foods that we would ever eat. Like, wouldn't you want to test my blood sugars and see how my body reacts when I actually do have a glass of orange juice in the morning? And if that is actually an issue, as opposed to, like, this bogus drink that has all these bogus ingredients that, like, I don't put in my body anyway.
Right.
So the test is kind of like, you know, not very, very effective.
Yeah, I have a yoga student that had, I think she said she had gestational diabetes with her first. So her second, she's like, it made me feel like shit. And it did. Like, I had to do it twice with my first pregnancy. I was, like, sick for 2 days after doing it. Like, I just had a headache and I felt nauseous.
Yeah.
It was like, I, like, was not used to having that much sugar and, like, that, like, artificial colors and all that crap. I think they did take artificial colors out of it since I had to do it years ago. But, so she said that she did the thing where you're just testing your blood sugar.
That's often. What I do.
Okay, yeah.
So I have to test my blood sugars 4 times a day, first thing in the morning after I fast all night, obviously, when I wake up, and then 2 hours after each meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and that's more accurate anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I had to do that for 2 weeks, and they told me if it was like over like 160... my blood sugar should be between 80 and 160, which mm-hmm. is, like, a huge range to begin mm-hmm. with. But I, all of mine were between, like, 88 and 120, so they were mm-hmm. in a really good range. And even the ones that I had 120, my doctor made me do a couple days extra for. She was like, I want to know what you're eating on these days that you have, like, 120 mm-hmm. as your blood sugar rate. Okay. So,
but that's interesting, though, because then here it's, like, opening up even more of a conversation with your doctor about your diet. Like, I
exactly.
think that's great, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it's great. It's getting your doctor even more involved with, like, your diet and what you're putting in your body, which is awesome.
100%.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, you know, she was... she was very hesitant to even allow me to do that test because she wanted me to just do the traditional route, like, mm-hmm. kind of like, why are you causing waves? Just go with the flow. And I was mm-hmm. like, no, no, no. There's no need for me to take that test.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I had another situation, too. I found out that I was, like, anemic during this pregnancy. And she kept telling me, she was like, this, like, earlier on in my pregnancy, and she kept telling me, well, are you having protein in the morning? Are you having healthy fat in the morning? I'm like, no, no, no. Like, I'm eating well. She's like, no, it could just be your blood sugar. And I'm like, no, I know what I'm eating. I know what I'm putting into my body. I'm not having Fruit Loops in the morning, you know? Like, I'm having the smoothie with the peanut butter, with the chia seeds, making sure, you know, I get in that good stuff to, like, kind of regulate my blood sugars. So I definitely think it's important to really, like, communicate with your doctor and not, you know, not be afraid to
no.
make waves if you feel like it's necessary.
Yeah.
Or
because there's definitely doctors that are going to roll your eyes and they don't want to yeah. hear it and they don't want you to ask them any questions. But like I said before, like, the good doctors are going to want to have conversations with you. And I was lucky to find, like, you know, there were a couple in my practice that were suspect, but there were a couple that, like, I could totally, that were awesome and that you could talk to. You know, there's a lot of things, like, you know, that come up in pregnancy that you should be able to.
Right.
You know? And there's definitely people that consult the internet and think the internet knows more than their doctors, and it's not true. You know? But there's definitely, like, things that should be talked about, you know?
I agree.
Anything. Yeah.
Is there anything else during pregnancy that you think people should kind of be aware of, or any, like, non-toxic, healthy lifestyle tips?
So, I mean, I would definitely look what you're putting on your skin, because your skin's your largest organ, so I think that's really important. And when I was pregnant with Ella, like, I even started to become aware of that with Jackson, even, like, more so, like, just using, you know, homemade body butters and stuff. But I think we're so lucky now that there's so many options out there, and there's websites like the EWG where you can check, like, the ingredients. There's apps that will scan things in the store and you can see what the rating is.
Mm-hmm.
And things aren't as expensive as they were. Like, even when I was pregnant with Ella, like, 8 years ago, like, feel like all the healthy and organic things were so expensive. Now it's like there's so many options and things are more affordable. So just looking at the ingredients and what's in everything. And cocoa butter on your belly is a good tip. Like, you know, it's a really good tip for, you know, moisturizing and stretch marks and everything. And, yeah, so I would just definitely just be conscious of what you're putting on your body, as well as what you're putting in your body, but not to get too psycho with everything either. You know, I feel like there's a balance, and we do the best that we can until we know better. And when we know better, we do better. So no judgment. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge what other people are doing. Just do the best that you can with where you're at in your life and what you're doing.
I love that mentality.
Yeah, because, you know, people, like, somebody asked about, like, supplements and stuff, too, like even, like, folic acid, which your doctor will talk to you about, but, like, I think things even changed now from when, you know, I was pregnant before, and, like, folic acid, like, it was out, but it was more important before pregnancy. Like, what does your doctor say about that now? Like,
honestly, we, like, barely even talked
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, because I feel like nobody talks about it anymore.
And
yeah.
that's it.
Yeah, because everybody knows that's pregnant now. The doctors are like, yeah, whatever, take them, maybe
yeah.
not. Like, like they make you nauseous. Like they're like big pills. I'm like, oh, whatever, you know. Like I felt like just getting as much from your diet. And also, that reminds me, not being too hard on yourself in the first trimester if you're sick all the time. And all you want are bagels.
I agree.
Your body, listen to your body, you know. Like so many people I know come to me and they're like, oh my God, I'm so sick all the time. I'm not eating anything healthy. It's like, girl, like you're gonna be fine. Like once the second trimester comes around,
you're going to feel like a goddess.
You're going to feel, unless you're my mom. When my mom was pregnant with me, she literally threw up the entire pregnancy. She was in and out of the hospital all the time. There's a picture of her holding me as a newborn. She was like so thin. Aww. And like, yeah, she was so sick the whole pregnancy. The poor thing. But she said I came out in like 2 pushes though. So she
kind of a.
Yeah, but she was like so sick the whole pregnancy. So, I mean, that's. You know, but don't be so hard on yourself about that. You do the best that you can. That's all.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people get really, like, upset. They think they're going to hurt their baby. Like,
yeah.
There's people out there that don't know they're pregnant for 8 months and they're smoking and they're drinking and their babies come, like, you know, there's cases where babies come out healthy.
Like perfectly fine.
Yeah. I mean, knock on wood, it's like, you know, I feel like there's somebody looking out.
Absolutely.
But, like, you know, you do the best that you can. You make conscious choices. If you know you're pregnant and you try to just... be as healthy as you can with the tools that you have.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
So kind of transitioning now that you have your little babies, mm-hmm. and they're not the little babies anymore, mm-hmm. but they're so cute.
Thank you.
You definitely choose to raise them like in a really health and wellness conscious atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and not in a like obsessive way yeah. either, but they just like, you know, for instance, you make your own bone broth, which, mm-hmm. like, I had no clue what bone broth was growing up. Like, I just had Campbell's soup and whatever,
yeah, me too.
You know?
Me too.
But I love that, like, mm-hmm. you know, your children know what meditation is mm-hmm. and, like, all this stuff. So can you kind of just give, like, a little overview of, like, you know, how you guys are choosing to raise them in this healthy atmosphere and,
yeah.
you know, make sure it's not obsessive,
yes.
but...
My husband is not like I am at all, so that's the first thing.
It's all about balance.
Yeah, he's not at all. Like, he thinks, you know, I'm nuts sometimes, but he supports me. No, he doesn't. He's great, and he goes to the gym and stuff, and he definitely tries to eat healthy. He doesn't eat fast food or anything like that, but he's also, you know, still really likes food, and he likes,
yeah.
you know, things that might not be... I don't like to label things healthy or not. Like, I don't like to label food, but, like, you know, things that might be, like, sandwiches and, like, you know, pizza, which we all eat that.
Oh, yeah.
So first off, like, he's, like, great balance. And then when I was pregnant with Ella, like, I made this commitment that I was going to completely change how I talked to myself. I just did. I struggled, like I said, with an eating disorder when I was a teenager, but then I did struggle through my 20s, even though I was in complete denial of it. Like, looking back, I was, like, sicker probably, like, when I was 24 than when I was 16. And it was, like, that part, like, okay, yeah, like, I'm a personal trainer now and I'm healthy, but that part, I'm working in this gym environment where I have all these triggers around me all the time.
Right.
You know, and it was, like, my weight went up and down and up and down. And I had this negative self-talk thing, like, still, all the time. So when I got pregnant with Ella, I never felt better about my body in my entire life. Pregnancy saved me. Like,
really?
I hated my body, just was so negative about myself. And when I became pregnant, I felt so beautiful. And I've never said that before, ever. Like, I never could truly look somebody in the eye. Like, I would say it, but, like, I was bullshitting.
Yeah.
Like, I could never truly be like, I really feel beautiful. I have this person growing inside of me. It's just such a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had my moments, but I said, and I think I wrote a blog post. I did write a blog post, and I was like, I'm going to promise that I am never going to make any snide comments about myself in front of my daughter. Ever. Like, I'm just not, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I feel so fat today, or, oh, I hate how I look right now, or, oh, I've been eating way too much junk lately, oh, I need to do, I was like, I'm getting myself in check now, because I'm going to practice that, because it's a practice, because you can say it, and then it can go out the window, like,
yeah.
6 months from now, you need to practice it every day, so I said, I'm going to, even if I'm thinking it, because I still think it, trust me, I do, But practicing it has made my body image so much better. It's made it better. Yeah. And I have my moments, I have my days, and I go through my really rough patches, but I still practice that, like, as much as I can around her. So that, number one to me, is the healthiest thing that you can do, is you need to lead by example. And you need to have you need to be taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. not only by like, oh, I'm eating a kale salad every day and drinking a green smoothie every day. That's not what I mean. Yeah. I mean, you need to be good to yourself. You need to eat pizza and ice cream and not be like, oh, I feel so gross. I need to totally detox after everything I eat this weekend, because that was totally what I used to always say. And I'm like,
yeah,
I am not doing that anymore. So that was the number one thing. Number two, as far as food goes, like, I was really good from the beginning where I was like, I'm not going to, like, feed her what everybody calls kid food. Like, you know, I'm not going to just, like, give her mac and cheese and chicken nuggets because that's what kids eat. Like, I'm going to feed her what I'm eating. Like, yeah. I'm going to lead by example. And that's what, like, I was a vegan, and I came to this crossroad where I was like, I don't feel good feeding my kid a vegan diet. Yeah. I just don't. I read a lot about soy, and I didn't feel good about it. And I didn't feel good about it. I read every vegan book out there. I cried reading some of those vegan books about pig farmers and all of that. And yeah. I had a hard time. And then I had this audience that was, people were transitioning to being vegan because of my blog. And there's a girl today that still follows me that was like, I became a vegan because of you, but I still love you, like,
right.
You know. And but I looked at her when I was feeding her, and I first started like making all my own stuff, and she'd started like, we didn't do rice cereal. That's another thing that we could talk about, like, maybe, you know, maybe another time. Yeah. But like, I didn't start on rice cereal. We did avocado for our first food. We did veggies, and then when it got time, I was like, I gotta give her some chicken. Like, I gotta do it. So, and my husband was a meat eater, and I was like, if I'm don't feel good about feeding her this way, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to supplement and all these things because I wasn't getting B12 and all that stuff. And I have no problem with people being vegan. I think it's awesome if you're doing it for ethical reasons and if you feel better doing it. More power to you. I had such a hard time with not being vegan anymore. And then I was so scared to tell people I wasn't vegan anymore because I felt so bad about it. But I was like, you know, this is what's best for me.
Right.
And this is what's best for my daughter. So, you know, I fed her the way I was going to feed her. So, and I just, you know, I was eating what she was eating. I was like, I want to change the way I'm talking in front of her, and I also want to eat the same things that she's eating. I don't want to be like, oh, mommy has to eat a separate meal. I don't, you know, like, for everything. So I gave her, like, just real food from the beginning. Like, I made everything, and it wasn't as time-consuming as you would think. Like, I just yeah. kind of, like, batched everything, and I had stuff available all the time, and we would bring stuff out to restaurants with us for her. And she just had, like, a really extensive palate. And I have, like, videos and stuff of her covered in hummus from head to toe, and, like, you know, she just ate everything. She was great. She's totally different. She's different now. She's a lot more particular with her eating, but she's, like, she loves, like, everything. She's had mm-hmm. so many different foods. Like, her and my son and I, like, their favorite meal was, like, salmon with, like, broccoli and, like, sweet potatoes. Like, we would all eat that on a Monday night.
So healthy.
Yeah, like, so we, you know, they love that. I mean, now they're eating, like, you know, more things. And, yeah. But it is what it is. It's a balance. But, the first 2 or 3 years of Ella's life, like, I didn't really give her, like, a lot of processed stuff or packaged stuff, like, I just made her everything. And once she got to school, like in preschool, I used to pack everything for her because I didn't love the snacks they gave out, but I would pack stuff for her. And then when she got to like elementary school, it was like, all right, you know, if you want to buy chicken nuggets on Friday, you can buy chicken, like whatever. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So she kind of eats whatever. She's got a wide variety. She's a healthy kid. With my son, I started him too on avocado and like making stuff and just kind of doing baby. Like I did a little bit different. I wrote some blog posts about it if anybody's interested. I did like baby led weaning, started him with like bone broth and like egg yolk and avocado and all these like, you know, kind of pseudo like nourishing traditions.
Yeah.
Stuff. And he did really well with it. And with Ella, like I never gave her milk. We did hemp milk. And with Jackson, like, I get milk from the local farm. And it was so funny because I was like, I'm never giving my kids milk. I argued with my pediatrician about giving milk to Ella and, like, here with Jackson when it was time. And I breastfed. I breastfed Ella for 2 years, so I felt like I didn't really need to give her milk because I was still breastfeeding right. her. And then with Jackson, when he turned one, I do milk from my local farm. And, you know, it was fine. it was all good. So it was just completely different. But I feel like it's like you lead by example. So having the healthy meal, but then going out for ice cream and all of us enjoying the ice cream and not talking bad about the ice cream. And right. It's just food. It's just food. Food is food, you know, and that's it. I just want them to grow up balanced and healthy and happy. And I think that's all that matters. So
totally.
Yeah.
Would you mind elaborating on, because you mentioned the rice before, so.
Yeah.
Why did you choose not to give them, like, the whole rice?
So rice cereal, when Ella was 4 months old, I went to the pediatrician. He was like, oh, if you want to start giving her rice cereal, you can. So I was like, okay. And Twitter was big back then. You young folks probably don't even tweet anymore. But no, a lot of people do Twitter. But, like, we were on Twitter, and I think I wrote, like, on Twitter, like, question to moms out there, like, my doctor said I can start rice cereal. Do you know, like, of a healthy option? Like, because yeah. I didn't want to do Gerber. I was like, is there, like, a healthy, like, organic option, like, I should do? So this one nutritionist reached out to me who had, like, a baby book, and she was like, told me about, like, starting them on avocado, and she, like, said, you know, rice cereal is a processed food. It's got all the synthetic vitamins in it. Just look into this. I ended up buying her book, and I ended up doing my own individual research. So, and he kind of just said, like, you can if you want to. So then I went back to him, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to hold off on the rice cereal. What do you think about starting with avocado? And he was like, that's fine. I was like, all right, you know? So I did it, and it's, like, not only has all the nutrients they need, it's in a more absorbable form for their body than synthetic vitamins and cereal. So I did that with both my kids. They loved it, and it was great. And I wrote actually a blog post on feeding babies, so I'll send that over to you.
Yeah, definitely like notes. That.
Yeah, because it gives a lot of tips. And I read a lot of books, and I kind of did things differently. Like, I did more purees with Ellen, with Jackson. I did baby-led weaning, which you can Google baby-led weaning. You probably might have heard of it.
Yeah.
So I did that approach more with him.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So what about, we kind of touched on this before, but what about postpartum?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any issues since you did have the eating disorder mm-hmm. as a kid, mm-hmm. or as a young adult, I should say,
mm-hmm.
After you had the babies?
Yeah.
Because like you said, you felt so good and so beautiful when you were growing this little, you know, tiny baby inside you. And then afterwards, I mean, I hear from moms all the time, they're like, you know, when you're pregnant, everybody treats you so great. Yes. And then afterwards, they're like,
exactly. It's true, unfortunately. So I always try to give new moms extra love because I feel like I hate that. So I felt so wonderful during my pregnancies. And then after my daughter was born, I had, you know, I was very dangerously, I think, overweight before I got pregnant. Where I had to gain some weight because it took me a while to get pregnant. I was on birth control for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started to try, I think it was like September, and I didn't get pregnant until the following August. But I had to put on like a good 10 pounds. Like, I went to the doctor, they're like, you need to put on some weight. And like, I was also like, just got off birth control for a long time, so I think my hormones needed to regulate. Then I got pregnant. So I went from being like really underweight, and then I think I gained 45 pounds with Ella. And I was breastfeeding, and like I always had small boobs, and here I had these like ginormous things, and I just felt like I was like just top head, and I didn't feel good at all. I was in a really bad place. And then I put all this added pressure on myself because I was blogging a healthy living blog. I was a personal trainer, so I felt like I had all these eyes on me to like snap back, because I did. Like, people meaning well, like, you know, oh, I can't wait to see what you do to, like, afterwards, like, were saying to me. I can't wait to see, like, how you get back in shape because I'm thinking about getting pregnant or I'm pregnant now.
Right.
And even though they meant well, it fucked with my head so much. And
it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and the story I told myself in my head, because I don't want to say, like, you know, I like to say the story I told myself. Like, I had even some personal training clients that were obsessed with thinness and, like, being thin that I felt, like, looked down on me, like, after I went back to work. Like, I just felt like they did. I just got that vibe. It was a story. Yeah. I don't know if it was true or not, but it was the vibe I was getting. Like,
because
I was really thin, and I always got, like, complimented about how thin I was at that point in my life. And then I was so great when I was pregnant. And then afterwards, it was like, oh. And then there was, like, some mean comments, like, through blogging. Someone Ella was like 2 months old, two months old, and someone was like, oh, she should look better. She's a personal trainer. Like, somebody made like a really mean comment, and like that killed me. I remember just hysterically crying on my couch. Like, somebody can go behind their computer screen and just write something mean like that, and it just killed me. And I felt just, and I turned 30. So I was like, not, you know, I had just turned 30. I just chopped all my hair off, and I was like so much heavier than I ever was in my life. So here I was, like, I have this beautiful little baby, and it was the best, biggest love I ever felt. But at the same time, I, like, you know, I was going back on that promise I made to myself. I was like, I need to, like, get it together because, you know, but I needed to feel my feelings, too. I needed to feel it and kind of, like, deal with it. And then I kind of snapped out of it. And once I was ready to go exercise, I started exercising again. I was balanced about it, but I wasn't too crazy. But like 3 weeks in, I was like, oh my God, okay, what do I do? What do I do? I got to get back into shape. And every mom, like, I know so many people. I mean, I know over a dozen that have come to me 3 weeks postpartum. Okay, I'm ready to start thinking about what I'm going to do now. Yeah. What do you suggest? And I'm like, I suggest being with your baby because it goes so fast. And I could say that to you till I'm blue in the face, but you need to get it. Like, right. You need to get it because you're probably gonna, I'm not going to say you're probably, but like, you might feel that, like,
oh, I already feel like, oh, how am I going to work out at home, you know, when my baby, and it's fine. Just like, you just can't worry about that.
No, because
it took goes, 9 months to put on. It's going to take time.
It
to
took
come
me a
off.
Year. I'm going to tell you right now, both babies and my second pregnancy, I was active as shit and I ate like really light, and it wasn't in a disordered way. Like, I was eating really healthy and, I was eating, you know, I was eating ice cream probably like when I wanted or whatever, yeah. But like, I was so active and, I was eating balanced. I think when I got super pregnant at the end, like, I just couldn't eat a lot. Like, I had to eat really small meals anyway. Yeah. So I didn't put on a ton of weight. And like, if you see, like, if I showed you pictures for my two different pregnancies, like, I was like so much more like compact with Jackson, but I held on to like 10 or 15 pounds. Like, I don't really weigh myself, but it was like I like to, just to measure, it's probably like 10 or 15 pounds when I went to the doctor for like a good year. Like, and then, you know, and then it went off and then it was fine. It really did. If you're like back to like your lifestyle, it's going to come off. And I think breastfeeding had a lot to do with it, but I wasn't willing to give it up because it was more important to me than getting my body back. And some people lose all the weight with breastfeeding, but if you're not, don't feel bad. And I didn't know that because I felt like everybody that was talking to you was like, oh my God, it's going to melt off of you because you're breastfeeding.
I hate that. I actually saw that you responded in one of the mommy groups to somebody talking about how, you know, she was breastfeeding and the pounds weren't coming off because they say, you know, breastfeeding, you burn 500 calories and blah, blah, blah. And I found that so interesting that you were like, no, that did not happen.
It is a myth.
And it's not true.
No, it's not. It's just not. You're feeding another human. So, you know, my body needed that weight on me to feed another human being. So it held on to it.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And I nursed my daughter for 2 years, and as bad of a place as I was in, and when I kind of made that connection, like, there were times where it went through my head where I was like, I should just, like, stop nursing her and see if, like, the weight all comes off of me. But I was like, no, I don't want to do that because she's thriving on this, and it's important to me.
Right.
You know? And I'm grateful as fuck that I'm able to breastfeed because I know some people that can't. And, like, I'm sure that they would switch places with me because, like, I know people, I had friends who were, like, crying because they... You know, they had to. And I feel like a fed baby is a happy baby. And whatever choice that you make is the best choice. You know what I mean? But, like, for me, that was important to me. So I did it. And with Jackson, it only lasted a year because he was over it after a year. But my freezer was so stocked.
Right.
That, like, I ended up giving him sippy cups of breast milk a little bit after he was a year. I ended up having oversupply with both of my kids. I struggled a little bit in the beginning with Ella. But, like, I feel like that was because I didn't see a lactation consultant right away. So I highly recommend seeing like a couple different lactation consultants when you're in the hospital to get latch right. And like, you know, like I found like laying on my side really helped for me because I had an oversupply. I would have a strong letdown, so that, which means that your milk will come out really fast and it would like choke the baby.
Oh, no.
And they would like get really mad at me. So I like, so laying on my side helped because the milk will kind of run down the side of their mouth and it wasn't as like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. So there's a lot of tips on that. But, yeah, so it was just kind of, it was important to me. But it ended up, like, because I think I nursed so long that, like, once I was done nursing and I wasn't even doing anything different, the weight did just kind of come off of me without really even doing anything different. So.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I had all these things as a new mom that I was going through when I was a new mom, and I just felt like I had to do all the things. I felt like I had to update my blog because people were emailing me, oh, I can't wait to see an update, and I felt like I had to clean my house, and I felt like I had to get my body back, and I felt like all these things. I feel like I missed moments those first days because I was so worried about all that stuff. I think once I got into a groove and Ella was like a few months old, and I also felt like I had to go back to work early because I had my own business. So like I went back to work when I was like 6 weeks postpartum, which is so like, you know, partly I started seeing some clients and I was pumping in my car and like doing all this crazy shit because I was like, I don't want to lose these clients that I have because I built this business over all these years and I don't want to take too much time off. And then when Jackson, like knowing that, going like knowing that and having the experience of a second time mom, I was like, I'm not doing that to myself. I'm not going back to work until 3 months. I mean, I only work part time, so it wasn't like I was going back to a full time job. It's different. And this is my only job right now. My job right now is to take care of myself and recover, and to nurse my baby and to burp my baby and to put my baby to sleep and to tend and to change my baby's diaper and to tend to all my baby's needs. That is my only job right now. And to pay attention to my daughter, like, and to spend some time with her and involve, literally, like, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I don't need to update a blog, or I don't need to respond to text messages. I don't need to do anything for anybody else except for my kid and for myself right now. It's such a small part of your life. And saying this might not change anything because all those things might still come up for somebody who's a new mom. Like, you might still need to feel like it. And I know what it's like to sit in a house and it's dirty and it's, like, making your eye twitch. Like, I understand. But take the help because people are going to want to help you. Like, somebody wants to come over and do your dishes, let them. Don't be proud about it and be like, no. Yeah. Like, because they're not going to offer if they don't want to. You know, let people cook for you and make you food. Just let people help you and put your feet up and just take care of your baby and take care of yourself, because my kids are 7 and they're 4 now. And so it's like, I would do anything to go back in time and just like hold them as a little baby and just be like, oh my God, like, you know, and I was so much more present, I think, like the early days with Jackson, with Ella. Like, I've gotten to my groove and finally was like, you know, I need to like embrace this. Like, but I was so worried and like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And my other thing I'm gonna say is it's okay to not know what you're doing and to ask for help and just, because we don't know what we're doing. Like, we're taking care of another human being. We never did it before. So it's okay.
That you just met.
It's okay. Yeah, that you just met. And you're getting to know them. And they're getting to know you. And, you know, like, and you might get nervous. And they might cry because you're upset. And then, like, it just, and then everybody's anxious. And you don't know what's going on. And it's okay. Just breathe. Meditate. Like, put the meditation app on your phone. And just breathe. And just try your best to be present. So, yeah. Like, it's just such a special time, and it goes so fast.
I love that advice. Yeah. So now, like you said, your babies are, like, all grown up, and you're kind of beyond that, like, postpartum phase in your life. What are some ways that you try and stay healthy, and do you take any supplements?
I don't really take many supplements. I do collagen. I do some of the mushroom stuff in my smoothies and the mushroom coffee. I try to just get most of the stuff through food. I try to, I order from a certain farm where it's like the food's so much more high quality. So you're getting more nutrients. Like, the eggs are just the bright orange yolks, and you know, you're getting so much more from that stuff. And, practice yoga. I try to get to the gym like once a week, to do like a HIIT training or something. I walk my dog, play with my kids, or run around, play with your kids, run around the yard, get down and dirty with them. I like to cook, and like to, you know, not cook sometimes too, because I think that sometimes not cooking is like taking care of self-care.
100%.
Yeah, ordering a pizza and just watching a movie and like playing Legos instead of spending like, you know, time cooking. Like, but it's all balance. So it's just, for me right now, being healthy, like I said earlier, is not about drinking green smoothies every day or whatever. It's like living in balance and practicing that all the time, because I feel like I'm going to constantly always be in recovery from what I went through as a young adult. And even though I'm in a really good place with food now, like, all those other things come up a lot, you know, And so I think it's that. And I think sometimes like detoxing from social media. So if you're in postpartum and you're feeling really bad about yourself and you're looking at this famous Instagrammer who had a baby 3 weeks ago who looks like she could put on a bikini, get off Instagram, unfollow that person or whatever. Because I even see that now and I'm like, what is going on here? Like, this is not real life. Like,
agreed.
You know what I mean? And it makes me feel bad about myself. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I should just not like judge this, like, you know, but it's witnessing your judgment without judgment and like knowing what's healthy for you and being able to take a step back. So I think, you know, knowing to take a step back from those things and knowing social media isn't real life, because that's really important, especially this day and age.
Yeah.
So, and just whatever you see, not everybody's perfect parent. Everybody puts the perfect things like, oh, my kids are eating so healthy all the time.
They love broccoli.
Yeah, like they're so wonderful. And like, you know, my kids love broccoli and they love salmon. They love all that stuff too. But you know what? They love junk food too.
Right.
My daughter had like Doritos for the first time this year. My husband like took her to the gas station around the corner and got her. He loves Cool Ranch. He doesn't eat them all the time, but like Cool Ranch Doritos. She discovered them. And now it's like, Daddy, take me to the gas station. And I just laugh. Like,
that's
it's
hysterical.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not like, oh, you shouldn't be eating that. It's full of chemicals. It's like, she doesn't eat it all the time, whatever.
Right.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's just living in balance. Like, not everybody is perfect. So I'm telling you right now, I am not perfect. I saw a meme the other day. It was like, I question my parenting sometimes, but I also question my child's childing too. Like, it's just so true. Like, you know, so nobody's perfect. And you just do the best you can with what you have. And there's always room for growth. And, you know, you're awesome. That's it. That's it.
So what are some resources you might recommend to somebody who, you know, just kind of wants to become more aware about the health and wellness?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say industry, but
like the whole, like, pregnancy or just in general?
I would say in general.
Uh-huh.
You know, podcasts or blogs, aside from yours, because yours is super resourceful.
Oh, thank you. Well, for pregnancy, I really love Heather Dessinger's book, Nourish Baby.
Okay.
I loved that book. And like I said, The Doula's Guide to Birth. I don't know who the authors are, but it was like my book.
I'll look that up and I'll link that.
Yeah, that was really good. And then, blogs. I don't know. I like your blog. I feel like you interview a lot of really good people. And I like, who do I like? I follow Sophie Jaffe. I really like her vibe.
Love her.
Yeah, I really like her.
Oh my God,
she's adorable.
Favorite.
She's adorable.
She was like one of my first podcast guests.
Yeah,
loved her.
I like there's a page called Damn the Diets, and there's another one. She used to be do the Hot Pants, but she changed her name. They're both like eating disorder awareness, and so I think they're really good for like mental health and. I like Nourishing Traditions. I follow them loosely. I like,
and these are all on Instagram, right?
I don't know. They're a book. It's
okay.
Like the Nourishing Traditions is a book by Sally Fallon. It's a really good book. It's like a manual, like how our great-great-great-grandparents eat. It's all like the bone broth.
Gotcha.
Mentality.
Right.
So I don't follow that like completely 100%. I don't really agree with everything they say, but I kind of loosely follow that. Like, you know, just living in balance. And that's it. I can't really think of anybody right now. I'm sorry, guys. It's 10:30.
I know.
And I taught some yoga classes today. I'm a little fried. But if I think of any, I'll tell you to link for later.
So my last question for you. I ask everybody who comes on the blog, what's your favorite flavor of kombucha?
My favorite flavor of kombucha? I like Gingerade.
Love it.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be like the number one response.
Really?
Hands down. Everybody says Gingerade.
It's so
Gingerade.
Surprising to me because I feel like more people would like the berry ones.
So, which is what I like.
Yeah.
So where can everybody find you?
So I am at Laurie Ann Rake on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. And then my blog is laurieraken.com. It used to be thefitnessdish.com, and I think it still redirects. And it's LauryRaiken. And, yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm really excited. Thank you. Bye.